Good morning. Welcome to you as we come into the Lord's house this morning. Please take a moment to sign the friendship register at the end of each row closest to the center aisle, and then pass it along to your neighbor seated next to you. And please take a look at the bulletin, at the bulletin announcement page inside your bulletin. There are several upcoming committee meetings over the next few weeks and months. There's a board meeting today that'll be at noon in the upper room. We need all of our elders, deacons, and committee chairpersons to be present so we can have a quorum for voting. We do have a few items of business, including our future insurance policies. And VBS is coming up next Saturday from 9 o'clock to noon. It's a one-day event this year, and it's open to all children of Barry. And parents and families are then welcome to attend the closing program and lunch, which will be right around noon. Again, that's this Saturday, July 18th from 9 o'clock to noon. Also, please notice the flyer about the Jamaica Medical and Dental Mission led by Pastor Bob McGee, who, of course, was Pastor Dennis's predecessor here. Those of you who know Pastor Bob are aware of the joy and enthusiasm that he leads this mission project each year. It's truly a calling for him and all the folks who participate. And now may we begin our service of worship with our call to worship. Andrew, good morning.
Good morning. Please rise for the call to worship. Praise God with shouts of joy, all people. Come and listen, all who honor God. And I will tell you what he has done for me. Let us sing our opening hymn, Rise Up, O Saints of God. It's hymn number 611. We'll sing all stanzas.
Rise up, O saints of God, have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O saints of God, the kingdom tarries long. Bring in a day of righteousness and end the night of wrong. Rise up, O saints of God, the church for you doth wait. With strength unequal to the task, rise up and make it great. Lift high the cross of Christ, tread where Christ's feet have trod. Come, sisters, brothers, in the faith, rise up, O saints of God.
Thank you, Victoria, for being our candlelighter this morning. May we bow in a word of prayer. Holy God, we're privileged to come into your house this morning. We're grateful to live in this country where we're free to worship as we choose. And we are thankful for our brothers and sisters in Christ here at Barry Christian Church. We thank you, Lord God, for the presence of the Holy Spirit, who shows us the living presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you this morning. Please be seated. Now, will the kiddos come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first verse of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning. How are you, Miss Victoria?
Are you good? Good. I'm glad to hear it.
This morning, if I do this, what am I trying to do? Am I trying to show off muscles? I don't have very many of those. They're down here now. But that's the general idea. We like to show off our muscles sometimes, huh? Do you have muscles? Let me see. Can you go like this and show me your muscles? No. Okay. Well, if I want to have muscles, what do I got to do? I have to exercise, right? And maybe lift some of those big, heavy weights. Yeah? Yeah? Build up muscles? Well, today in Children's Church, we're going to talk about a guy named Samson. Samson was very strong. He was very, very strong. But he didn't have to do anything to get strong. God made him strong. But God also told him to do lots of things that Samson didn't really do. He wasn't very good at following instructions. He kind of did things his own way. But the one thing that kept him strong, do you know where he got his strength from? Well, God gave him strength as long as he never cut his hair. As long as he never cut his hair, he was going to have his strength. But because Samson wasn't very good at following instructions, his hair got cut, and he wasn't very strong anymore. We're going to learn today a little bit about strength. And that's also what we're going to talk about in VBS this coming Saturday, is strength. Strength we get from God. And Jesus, even if all of our strength has gone down to our toes, is there strength in your toes? No? Okay. Can we have a little prayer? Dearest Heavenly Father, we thank you for your ever-loving grace and kindness and mercies. We thank you that we can always find our strength in you by just conversing with you, praying with you, just being a part, having you be a huge part of our lives. Please be with us as we go forward today and in the days to come. Help us to enjoy the message and help us to learn and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy. We're missing some of our kiddos today, aren't we? And it's not even the 4th of July weekend, so hope all is well for a number of our families with children. We are delighted that the Weekleys are here today, Joe and Kathy and Abby. Good to see you guys. Bless you. All the way from Minnesota. Goodness sakes, we feel privileged you made the trip just to come here and be with us, right? It's such a joy to see you all this morning. Bless you. In our congregation, we definitely want to keep Dave Haynes and Ardith in our prayers. Dave continues to be in intensive care at the hospital in Liberty. He is seeing improvement. The last 3 days, he's seen some steady improvement in his breathing, and we hope that that is a very good sign. All is progressing here. Ardith, again, as we mentioned last week, is now home striving to make her recovery as well. Jill Gregory is now over in the Tiffany Springs Rehabilitation Center, making some progress there. Family members were remembering Lynn Fleming's father, Frank Haight. Frank is going to be having prostate surgery on the 15th. And Pat Reese, Kelly Jackson's mother, is looking to have surgery on the 27th of July up at the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota. We're remembering Kathy Gorman's mother, Wilma Andreas, Shelley Taylor's husband, Steve. We're remembering Edna Williams' sister, Kay Murray, and her cousin, Anna Hext. Dean Chester, the father of Jerry Chester's, in our prayers, as well as Nancy Poos, the sister of Patty Miller. And of course, Ruth Ann, we keep Rihanna in our prayers every week. And among friends, Christina Driver and Donna Stebbins, we keep in our prayers now. So may it be with the spirit of humility that we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, with gratitude we once again assemble in your house to offer you praise and worship, as we also find comfort in fellowship with one another. As we make our way through the journey of life, we seek stability and assurance in the designs and plans of humanity. Yet, as so many recent experiences attest, we are reminded that our own sense of security and assuredness rest on the foundation of shifting sands. We pray each day, O God, for the multitudes of families in Surfside, Florida, mourning the loss of so many dear loved ones. We pray each day for the thousands of families evicted from their residences as fears of other building defects are being discovered. We pray each day for the 10 million Americans enduring record-setting heat once again this weekend in our western states, as we truly are humbled by the loss of so many lives in Canada and the United States because of heat stroke and dehydration. All of these experiences remind us of just how tenuous our human experience can be here on earth, even as we strive for the assuredness of stability and predictability through our man-made institutions and endeavors. Yet through all suffering, may we not only seek out ways to bring relief and renewal for so many in need, may we also find assurance through your Holy Spirit's presence among us. For as the Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 8, your loving presence always resides with and for us, as he writes, "For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present or things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." This be our prayer as we recite with confidence the prayer our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. day when my faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well.
Paul's writings in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14 are worth remembering as we sing this morning's communion hymn, In the Cross of Christ I Glory. For Paul writes, "Far be it from me to glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." It is true that no matter what we may personally acquire or achieve here on earth, it all pales when laid at the foot of Christ's cross or compared to what our Lord Jesus has done for the salvation of our souls. It is thus with meek humility and gratitude that we turn to our communion hymn. It's number 207, In the Cross of Christ I Glory. We'll sing all stanzas, please.
Of Christ I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time. All the light of sacred story gathers round its head sublime. When the walls of life take me, hopes deceive and fears annoy, never shall the cross forsake me. Lo, it glows with peace and joy. When the sun of bliss is beaming light and love upon my way, from the cross the radiance streaming adds new luster to the day. Pain and blessing, pain and pleasure by the cross are sanctified. Peace is there that knows no measure, joys that through all time abide.
And as we we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Ken leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear Lord, as we gather today to accept the blood and body of Christ, the belief we would have in you that we will be better Christians, neighbors, and servants of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. Scripture challenges us to be generous in our deeds and resources for the benefit of others from the resources that God gives us. As Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16 states, "Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such is pleasing to God." Thus, we give to the glory of God's purposes as Kimberly leads us in a word of prayer and as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Dear God, we are grateful for your presence here at this table, and we are thankful that we have earthly things to make our lives more comfortable. Help us remember that the things of this earth will have no purpose in heaven. While we are here, remind us to be loving and giving, remembering those that are less fortunate. We ask that you bless these gifts, tithes, and offerings so that they will be used to further your kingdom here on earth. We ask these in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand. Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Praise Him,
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your purposes now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. This Sunday I'd like to begin a new sermon series that explores Israel's challenge to live the way that God required. During the reign of the judges and the kings, as they were enticed by the might and the influence of the Philistines. And I think it'll be fun for us to look at an Old Testament segment here, because, you know, when I was growing up, my pastor, Brother Ville, you know, being that we were what was called the New Testament church, I never heard my pastor share a message about the Old Testament. Never. Not a single one. And yet so much of our Christian heritage is built upon what is experienced in the Old Testament context. So there certainly are segments of that history that we really ought to be able to have some comprehension about. And of course, even when we think about the Philistines, we remember, you know the story, you remember from Bible school and Sunday school, David and Goliath. Who was the giant Goliath? He was a Philistine, as we understand from 1 Samuel chapter 17. But as we begin this series, we are much earlier in the history of the Israelites. The time period we'll be looking at, they had just come into the land of Israel to be the promised land, and yet they meet up with some folks called the Philistines on the coastal plain, and we see all kinds of difficulties between the two groups of folk. And today, we focus our attention, and even next Sunday, on Samson, who was called to a life of dedication before God as what was called a Nazarite. And so that leads us to our scripture reading for this morning, Judges chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. The Israelites sinned against the Lord again, and he let the Philistines rule them for 40 years. And at that time there was a man named Manoah from the town of Zorah, and he was a member of the tribe of Dan. His wife had never been able to have children. And the Lord's angel appeared to her and said, "You have never been able to have children, but you will soon be pregnant and you will have a son. Be sure not to drink any wine or beer or eat any forbidden food. And after your son is born, you must never cut his hair, because from the day of his birth, he will be dedicated to God as a Nazarite. He will begin the work of rescuing Israel from the Philistines." May we bow our heads in prayer. Holy and gracious God, we're privileged to once again be in your house, to lift up praise and worship to your holy name, and Lord God, also to recognize that as we step forward with each day of life you give us, we're privileged to live as Christ lived, to live a witness, a testimony of your love to all whom we meet day to day. It's in Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. So Samson was a Nazarite. But what did that mean? Well, most of all, it meant one who was dedicating oneself in true devotion to God's ways as a way of offering particular honor and witness to God. The root word for Nazarite is Nazir. And it simply means to be holy or to be set apart. And the outward actions of a Nazarite not only separated them from the normative behaviors of other Israelites, but certainly also from the rest of the world. And it's interesting to note how many external actions have been used over the centuries to distinguish oneself or to distinguish a particular group as being expressly dedicated to God by one's actions and by one's appearance. Here in Missouri and throughout other parts of the plains and the Midwest, we know of the Amish and the Mennonite people who refrain from ownership or use of certain modern conveniences and dress in distinctive ways as a means of expressing honor to God in a way that some folks may think is peculiar, but to them is a symbolic gesture of honor toward God rather than living in worldly ways. And in the time of the judges and kings, and even well beyond, a Nazarite lifestyle was a way for Hebrew and later for Jewish people to uphold behaviors and appearances that did in fact set themselves apart, not only from their fellow people of faith, but certainly from the world. Now, typically, a Nazarite vow was only an act of devotion for a set period of time. It would usually last somewhere between 30 and 100 days. And during the Nazarite vow, a Hebrew devotee would refrain from doing a number of things that we would think were rather odd. One of them, of course, was cutting one's hair. During the pandemic, it looked like we had a number of people taking a Nazarite vow, right? Hadn't been to a barber in quite some time. For some of us, it was getting really irritating, wasn't it? You know, I really wanted Carrie to cut my hair, and she wasn't about to. I was so grateful when my barber finally got back open again. But that was one thing. And we think, well, huh? What's that all about? It seems rather odd. Certainly it would be better to have had to do that for 30 to 100 days than to have to do that for a lifetime, right? I can remember one particular woman who never did cut her hair. She was actually, again, my pastor's, Brother Veal's wife. She happened to also be my sixth grade teacher. And her hair was always done up in a bun in the back. But, you know, when her hair was down, it actually went down to below, well below her waist, because she never cut it. I thought, oh, my gosh, can you just imagine the task involved in all that? Refraining from strong drink like wine or beer was another attribute. We're going to find out as we go through this series that the Philistines not only loved their beer, but they were good at making it. And so you can see how there was a reason for that refrain. And you were not supposed to touch any dead bodies, whether they be animals or human. And often one would separate oneself from other people to eliminate distractions while being more dedicated in prayer and study. Yet in the Bible, we also see that there were three men who were specifically dedicated before God to be Nazarites, not just for 30 or 100 days, but for life. And it's noteworthy to realize that in all three occasions, the couples to whom the children were born were barren before the birth of their dedicated child. Each child was essentially a blessing from God, but also was given as a gift back to God through that Nazarite commitment. And of course, the first of those children is the one we'll be talking about over the next few weeks, Samson, son of Manoah, and his wife is unnamed, living during the time of the judges. Following him was Samuel, born to Elkanah and his wife Hannah, who had fervently prayed to God for a child in the tabernacle in Shiloh. And so willingly she dedicated him to a life of service in the temple after his birth. As Hannah declares to God in 1 Samuel chapter 1, "I asked God for a child, and he gave me what I asked for, so I am dedicating him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he will belong to the Lord." And fortunately, Hannah was even blessed with several children after the birth of Samuel. And in the New Testament, there was John the Baptist, a cousin of Jesus, born to Zechariah and Elizabeth. As Luke chapter 1, verse 15 states, "He will be a great man in the Lord's sight. He must not drink any wine or strong drink. And from his very birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and he will bring back many people from Israel to the Lord their God." And as we assess further details about John, we believe that he became a member of what was called the Essenes. Similar to a monastic order, they dedicated themselves to the study of God's word while separating themselves from the routine world by living in the desert lands just south of the Dead Sea. And surely, there was a particular purpose for one being a Nazarene, or even for one taking the Nazarene vow, if you will, for a set period of time. It really has nothing to do with showing off or simply isolating oneself from worldly ways. Being a Nazarite had everything to do with witness and to inspiring others to be drawn closer to God by the example that they see being set by you. This purpose is clearly conveyed to Zechariah when he is told of the upcoming birth of his son John the Baptist. As the angel Gabriel declares in the 16th verse of the Gospel of Luke, in the first chapter, the text says, "And he will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God." And of course, we know that certainly is what John the Baptist did, didn't he? as he went out among the people and he said, make straight the way for the Lord. And people would ask, well, what must we do? And he said, you must repent of your sins and be baptized. And of course, he baptized in the Jordan River by immersing people completely into the water. And as they come up out of the water, it's symbolic of the beginning of a new life in Christ. That's why we have baptism by immersion in our own fellowship. And surely we also know that Samson's purpose was the same. As the text tells us, the Lord's angel. Now, we don't know if that was Gabriel or whomever. But the text says, the Lord's angel declares in Judges chapter 13, verse 5, he will bring the work of rescuing Israel from the Philistines. Again, remember how the story began, that as I first read to you? Because of the Hebrew people's unwillingness to follow God's ways, they kind of slack off on everything about what it meant to be godly people. And the text says that God placed them under the authority of the Philistines for 40 years. Boy, that's one person's working lifetime, isn't it? Imagine being oppressed by a neighbor who had more might and more power than you. And more about the Philistines as we continue this series as well. But sometimes people get confused and they'll even call Jesus a Nazarite. This is because the scriptures tell us that Jesus was a Nazarene, which is easily confused with the word Nazarite as they sound very similar. But in truth, being a Nazarene simply means that Jesus was from the town of Nazareth. Of course, in the northern province of Galilee. But even though our Lord Jesus didn't take on the distinction or the devotion of being a Nazarite, we do know that he did live his life in a very distinctive and truly sinless lifestyle. Our Lord Jesus certainly did live a life that was set apart and clearly dedicated to God. And Jesus was set apart by the way he did any number of things. Remember? He spoke with gentleness to others. He had the compassion that was so wondrous as he expressed his love for anyone in need. He had a willingness to turn around and call forth and care for the likes of blind Bartimaeus, as he calls out Jesus' name from the side of the road, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And by the way, Jesus welcomed the young children and their mothers to spend time with him, and as he willingly blessed each child. And even though you and I are not called to dress in certain ways or wear our hair a certain way, or to refrain from alcoholic beverages, as was a Nazarite in biblical times like Samson, we are indeed called out to be quite distinctive from the ways of our world. We are called out, as I indicated on the sign outside this morning, to live like Jesus, which is a direct reference to the New Testament text of 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, where the verse says, whoever says that he or she remains in union with God should live just as Jesus lived. This doesn't mean that we wear linen robes and wear sandals. It means that our words and our actions take on the characteristics of Jesus as he portrays his witness to us through everything that he expresses in the New Testament Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so for you and I, the more we read the stories of Jesus and prayerfully meditate upon his ways, the more we will experience his character and the more our own personal character can reflect that of Christ. So next week, we'll learn more about what happened to Samson. But in the meantime, let us always remember, we're not called to be Nazarites, but we are called to be Christ-like. Do you know Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you don't, maybe today is your day to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. But maybe today is that day for you to come forward and become a part of the fellowship of the church as we turn to our hymn of invitation, Precious Name. We're going to sing stanzas 1 and 4 of hymn number 625.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where'er you go. Precious name, oh how sweet, above earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. At the name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at his feet, King of kings in heaven will crown him when our journey is complete. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven.
Certainly is a joy to see all of you in the Lord's house, and we wish you the very best as you journey through the new week. Again, a reminder to our board members, we certainly need your attendance at the meeting today after the noon service, or you know, right at noon after the 11 o'clock service, because we do have some items of business that we do need to vote upon, because this is the first board meeting that we will have had in-house since February of 2020. So your assistance will be deeply appreciated. May we bow our heads. Lord God, as we depart, your Spirit is among us, and for this we give thanks as we are privileged to live a living testimony of Christ's love in all we do and say. It's in his name that we give thanks, and as we depart, we seek your guidance. Amen.
I want Jesus to walk with me. I want Jesus to walk with me. Jesus to walk with me.